Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Let's go to film, where we've got two movies to talk about tonight. And tonight, those two flicks are about characters with privileged abilities to see into unseen parallel worlds or alternative realities. One is a big Hollywood production. It's called The Adjustment Bureau, starring Matt Damon. I'm so looking forward to seeing it. It tackles God, destiny, free will. The other is a small, quirky Aussie flick called Griff the Invisible. And our film critic, Ben McKechnie, has been watching both. Hello, Ben.
Good evening to you, Sheridan. How's things?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Adjustment Bureau first. Give us a bit of a brief outline as to what it is, and then I'll make my decision as to whether I'm still keen to go and see it after your review.
All right. Well, look, probably the best thing for you then to not dampen your spirits is I won't say too much about what I actually thought of the Adjustment Bureau.
Okay.
But
uh-huh.
What I think that actually the best thing about the Adjustment Bureau is actually to talk about it and to discuss what actually goes on in it, as opposed to actually seeing it. But anyway, to give you a brief snapshot of what the film's actually about, Matt Damon is playing an aspiring politician in New York, and before a big speech he has to deliver, he accidentally bumps into a ballerina who's played by a great British actress called Emily Blunt. The two of them hit it off really quickly, and one of the best things about the film is that Matt Damon and Emily Blunt have excellent chemistry all the way through the film. But so they hit it off, and then they don't actually meet up again for another couple of years. And when they do, this is like a strange series of events happens, where Matt Damon then sees behind the curtain, as we're told in the film, sees behind the curtain of how reality actually exists. So if you cast your mind back to say like The Matrix or Inception that we were talking about last year. It's one of those movies where it suggests that reality isn't as it seems, and isn't as in the case of the Adjustment Bureau. What's actually going on is that the world is run by an entity called the Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a plan, and there are these agents of fate who may or may not be angels, and they run around with nice hats on and sharp suits, and
mm-hmm.
they pretty much keep us on track with what our plan actually is. And the rest of the Adjustment Bureau is about how Matt Damon attempts to fight fate. It's like Jason Bourne fighting fate. He just decides, I'm not going to go with the plan that you guys have set for me. I'm going to run off and try to pursue this woman.
Okay. So it sounds like it's been, well, it's kind of borrowed from the Judeo-Christian framework in many ways. If we're actually talking about, you know, the chairman could almost fit like a deity position. And then you've got the agents of fate, as you call them, kind of these angelic messengers, servants
yeah.
or so. Yeah.
yeah? Yeah, very much so. Look, I think it's really quite glaring. This is from an author called Philip K. Dick, who I think most people would know him for the films that have been made from his work, which include Blade Runner, Minority Report, and Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
So Philip K. Dick is this sort of powerhouse science fiction author, and the majority of his films are about reality and sort of a twisting on reality and him suggesting that reality isn't as what we think it is. But I think you're right that the Adjustment Bureau is clearly based on a Judeo-Christian model. And even in the film, we keep getting told whenever the chairman comes up, there's sort of comments about, is it God? And then they sort of say, yeah, it might be, but you know him by that name. You might also know him by other names.
Right, right.
Same thing with the angels.
But based on what I've heard, though, if this is kind of like a God character, he's not a very nice person, isn't he? Let's take a listen to this.
The whole world of women out there thought we established this one was off limits.
Well, it's been a while. I must have forgotten.
Doesn't change the fact.
You put us together three times.
That wasn't us. That was just chance.
Why do you want to keep us apart?
Because the plan says so.
Well, then you misread the plan.
No, there's no misreading the plan when it comes to you and Elise.
The plan's wrong.
Do you know who wrote it?
I don't care.
Well, you should. You should really show a little respect.
Okay. Do you know who wrote the plan?
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah.
So this is why I think that it's better to talk about the Adjustment Bureau than actually see it. Because, look, it's a slick film. Matt Damon and Emily Blunt are great. But even as that clip demonstrates, when it gets to the point where it has to describe and explain what's going on, which it does need to do on several occasions, for me anyway, it was nowhere near as convincing as films like Inception or Blade Runner or Minority Report, for that matter. So it really sounds a bit clunky and a bit cheesy. But the ideas in it, I think, are very interesting at best and sort of damaging at worst. Mainly because, again, as that clip demonstrates, like when we're talking about this, the plan and why this chairman is doing these things, there's no real sort of concepts of, I wouldn't think, of purpose, and there's no suggestion of love and compassion or any kind of reasoning about, and no relationship between this chairman and the, well, it doesn't even suggest that they're their creation. It's just almost like puppets that he's looking after on Earth, or just seemingly doing things at will just for the sake of it, and occasionally get conversations about this is for the greater good and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But even that, I didn't find very convincing. It just seemed more, more either the filmmakers or the authors' interpretation of a godlike character that they think is just running things just merely for the sake of it. And then when you get to the end of Adjustment Bureau, without trying to give it away, but the eventual statement of, I think, is really quite, almost quite damaging, because it really is the film strongly suggesting that if we kind of fight against God enough, if we keep sort of persisting, we could actually ultimately prove God wrong. We could sort of make God change his mind. I keep going back to God, but I should say chairman. We will change the chairman's mind, and we'll change these angels' mind. And it starts getting increasingly, fraught, particularly, for a believer, I think, if you're looking at that. And for me, anyway, it's clearly a Judeo-Christian model that they've just made a story about.
A little bit.
You're in your own sort of dangerous territory there.
Doesn't sound like a chairman I'd like to get to know. We're talking to our film critic.
No explanation of what this chairman's doing.
We're talking to our film critic Ben McKechnie on Open House tonight. If you've seen The Adjustment Bureau and you've got a different position, I'd love to know. 1-300-40-20-20. Film number two, Griff the Invisible, Australia's first significant superhero movie. I never thought I'd hear us say that we'd be producing a superhero movie from Australia.
Well, actually, I'm surprised it's sort of taken this long. Like, there's been a few made in Australia, like notably Wolverine and Superman Returns. And there was a film in the 80s called The Return of Captain Invincible, which was made in Sydney, but it was largely populated by an American cast, and I haven't seen it, and I think there's a big reason for that, which is from everything I've read and heard, it's not worth checking out. Mm-hmm. So Griff the Invisible does seem to be the first superhero movie from Australia, but it's really a superhero movie that's not a superhero movie. So it does start out like most superhero movies, and Griff is played by Ryan Quantum, who's the actor who used to be on Home and Away. He's now best known for that vampire show, True Blood. Mm-hmm. But he's come home, made a few movies. One of them is Griff. He's really great as Griff, who we see he's got his own lair, he's got his own costume. He's running out on the streets, being involved with fighting crime. But the longer the film goes along, it really starts pulling away from the sort of traditional model of a superhero film, like, you know, what you expect of Spider-Man or X-Men or even Batman. And we go into what starts out from what I thought was coming like an unorthodox love story, but then by the end of it, and again, I'm trying really hard not to give away what's going on with the film, because one of the best things about it is not knowing, but it does eventually, I think, come around to this really fascinating, quite provocative statement, or at least, position about how to treat mental illness and how to deal with this. If you think that someone is living in a fantasy world, how you actually approach that person and attempt to deal with that situation.
Interesting.
So there are some superhero moments in the film, and Griff demonstrates some abilities and all that. And, you know, he's got a lycra suit, but really, if you're going into this expecting a superhero movie, don't.
You're going to be disappointed. Okay, so my hopes have been dampened for Adjustment Bureau.
I'm really sorry.
And
I'm trying to pick my words carefully.
No. You've ruined my week. That's all. And Griff the Invisible sounds like you're probably a little bit more keen on Griff the Invisible, are you?
Yeah. Look, it's a movie I've thought about quite a bit since. And I should point out, look, Griff's character meets a young woman called Melody, who also is a bit of an outsider. But the way that she relates to Griff and what she kind of eventually champions as far as like him and the way he should live is where I keep getting back to this really unusual stance on mental illness or possible mental illness and delusions. And so unlike the Adjustment Bureau, which is talking about sort of a new reality, a different reality, parallel universe kind of thing, that I didn't find that convincing. This one talking about sort of fractured reality and how some people may be living in a fantasy world, just the idea that you don't actually break them out of it I found really challenging, and I'm still not quite sure how to respond to it. So for a superhero movie that's not a superhero movie, Griff is a really fascinating little piece of work.
Okay. There we are, The Adjustment Bureau and Griff the Invisible and Ben McKechnie, our film critic. Thank you to you again.
No, mate, thank you. And I hope the rest of your week brightens up from here.
It will. Well, it will. Well, it will because, you know, in a week's time from now, we're going to have a very special little party going on of which you are going to be a prime cast member of.
Well, apart from yourself, but I'm a little bit further.
I'll be there.
But that's going to be great.
We'll see you.
It'll be a sad night, but also, what's the best word? Triumphant. It'll be triumphant.
Yeah, nice way. Nice way to put it. Good on you, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.